Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
June 15th is Father's Day, a once-a-year special day reserved to honor dear old Dad. If you're looking for some special ways to celebrate, we've compiled our list of this year's top 10 ways to delight your dad and the whole family on Father's Day. Many of these are free or low cost, though we've also included a few unusual ideas for those seeking to splurge. You can find all the details on these events and activities at eastcountymagazine.org. So, without further ado, here's our list. Number 1. You can start your Father's Day celebration a day early on Saturday, June 14th, by taking Dad to downtown El Cajon's new and free America on Main Street, a multicultural street fair celebrating ethnic diversity. There will be many fun attractions from 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, including a petting zoo, pony rides, Ferris wheel, rock climbing wall, Fiesta Day football, street soccer, and a salute to our veterans. Number 2. Movies in the park are also great options. You can find free movies showing in several county parks. Or head to the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine, where the park is equipped with cushy theater chairs and you can even enjoy popcorn while watching movies under the stars. Number 3. San Pascual Winery's Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village is hosting Sangria Sunday on Father's Day, as well as tastings for the wine connoisseur on your list. Number 4. For dads who love fishing, you can sink a line under the stars during night fishing at Santee Lakes on June 12th, a couple of days before Father's Day, or enjoy day fishing for bass, trout, and catfish all weekend. Santee Lakes also offers pedal boats, bicycle surrey rides for the whole family, and other fun activities. Number 5. Arriba! Hacienda Casablanco in El Cajon is serving up the Man It Up brunch on Father's Day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Hungry dads can savor carnitas, carne asadas, ribs, a carving station, roasted corn, an omelet station, breakfast foods, soup, salad, fruit, tamales, enchiladas, and homemade tortillas. Number 6. Famed architect James Hubble's artistic home in Julian brings art to life at its new Ilan Lael Foundation building, which will be open for a special Father's Day tour for those seeking to savor this architectural treasure. Number 7. Plan a picnic. San Diego County is home to many wonderful parks, lakes, mountain trails, and beautiful beaches, all free or nearly so. Planning a family outing that includes a picnic, fun in the sun, and activities such as a hike, bike ride, or sandcastle build-off can make for a great Father's Day gift that everybody can afford. Number 8. If you and your father want to walk on the wild side, how about a Father's Day falconry lesson? West Coast Sky Falconry of Alpine is offering falconry lessons where Dad can learn the art of handling these birds of prey. And during the summer months, starting now, the classes are held at Torrey Pines State Beach. Number 9. For the water enthusiast and outdoor adventurer on your list, you can rent kayaks at several of San Diego County's inland lakes and reservoirs, or venture to the coast for a kayaking tour of the San Diego Bay and Point Loma. The Family Kayak Adventure Center on Shelter Island is having a Father's Day 3-hour sea lion kayak tour, special complete with kayaking lessons and tour guide. Number 10. SeaWorld is hosting a Father's Day brunch with Shamu. This behind-the-glass tank dining experience includes a special meal cooked up by the park's chefs and an up-close look at the killer whale in what promises to be a whale of an experience for dads and their families. We hope these options have given you some good ideas to delight dear old Dad, and from all of us at the East County Magazine Show, we wish you a safe and happy Father's Day. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
With tinder-dry conditions during the drought, Fire Chief Rick Sitta at Heartland Fire and Rescue is warning residents about the dangers of sky lanterns. These fire lanterns pose a serious threat to our county, the chief says. Sky lanterns are prohibited by several laws and codes in California. The ban followed a bulletin from the state fire marshal in 2012 warning of the fire dangers. The fire marshal issued that bulletin in direct response to an East County Magazine investigation following a complaint from one of our readers. That led to first a ban on sky lantern sales at Walmart in Lakeside, and then after we alerted CAL FIRE and the San Miguel Fire Department, the state fire marshal took action. But many people don't know that Sky Lantern sales are illegal here, and use of the dangerous products continues. A Sky Lantern is a small hot air balloon made of paper with an opening at the bottom where a small fire is suspended. The heated air from the flame causes it to rise into the air and be carried off by the wind. The problem is that once released, there is no control over where the lantern lands, said Chief Sitta. It could land in trees or bushes, on hillsides and canyons, or on someone's home. Sky lanterns have grown in popularity over the years due to movies and commercials. They are often seen at weddings and vigils. Invented in China, the lanterns were first used as signals during the wars. They are now launched at festivals for good luck and to send wishes skyward. Chief Sitta is discouraging the use of sky lanterns at any time, especially during the 4th of July in the midst of fire season. The U.S. Fire Marshals Association has also adopted a resolution urging states to ban the sale and use of sky lanterns. There is a serious fire and safety hazard associated with sky lanterns. The potential to start an unintended fire on or off the property from which they are released cannot be overlooked. Sky lanterns have been the cause of commercial, residential, and wildland fires worldwide. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Trevor Hill on KNSJ.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. And today, my very special guest is Supervisor Diane Jacob, the chairwoman of the County Board of Supervisors. Welcome.
Thank you.
We are here to talk about the Alzheimer's Project, which is an effort that Supervisor Jacob has been spearheading along with Supervisor Dave Roberts. And I will say, I know this is important to so many people in San Diego, including me. My own father and my grandmother had this terrible disease, so it's commendable to see someone making efforts to do something about it.
Well, thank you, Miriam, and thank you for having me on the show and taking the time to talk about a disease that is reaching epidemic proportions, not just here in San Diego County, but throughout the country.
Yeah, I understand that over 60,000 residents in San Diego County have the disease. That number is expected to double by 2030, and that it's one of the highest rates in California. I'm curious why that is.
In San Diego County, we have a growing older population, which is outpacing the rest of the population. So when you look at the 60,000 people who today have Alzheimer's disease, and that doubling, say, in the next 15 years, those numbers are probably low.
Wow, that's really scary. Now, your project, as I understand it, includes efforts to both improve local care for the families of patients that already have the disease, as well as looking for ways to prevent it, treat it, and hopefully someday cure it. The initiative is bringing together, I understand, health experts from the Salk Institute, UCSD, Scripps Research Institute, and the Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute, among others. That's a pretty high-powered bunch of scientists working on this.
We have the brightest and best here in San Diego County, and before launching the Alzheimer's Project, I actually wanted to personally go out and visit and talk to the researchers, see their labs, see what they were doing. And I do believe we've got the brightest and the best here. And if there's a cure to be found, it could easily be right here in San Diego County. But unfortunately, right now, there's no cure for Alzheimer's. And one out of three seniors will die from Alzheimer's disease.
That is just horrifying. So let's hope that this project yields some positive results.
Well, also in San Diego County, it's the third leading cause of death, which is higher than in the nation. The first is heart disease, and then second, cancer.
Wow, that's really shocking. Now, we have a wonderful intern, Jessica Richmond, who just graduated from San Diego State University. I really want to congratulate her. She's interned before with us, and she's back again this summer. And Jessica did some research on Alzheimer's and the project, and so she had a few additional questions that we thought we'd ask. First one, Diane, is what inspired you to take this effort to try to find some hope out there for Alzheimer's and to make it a priority?
I attended a conference out at Skyline Church last year, mm-hmm. and it was put on by the Alzheimer's Association, and I stayed for the entire conference, and I was really taken by the information that was shared about the disease. I had no idea, because it is a disease that people have not wanted to talk about. And when I heard the statistics, like third leading cause of death, 60,000 people in San Diego County have the disease, and that one out of three seniors will die of Alzheimer's. Yeah. And then I learned that this year the federal government is allocating $562 million for Alzheimer's research. Wow. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but it's nothing compared to the research money that's put into cancer or heart disease.
True.
And not to take anything from that, but the annual nationwide cost of Alzheimer's disease is $200 billion.
Wow.
So definitely we need to beef up the money for research and work aggressively to find a cure, because those numbers, that $200 billion annually nationwide, will only go up, break the bank. So Alzheimer's not only takes a devastating toll on families, but also it hits the taxpayers pretty hard, too.
Yeah, it does, and our entire healthcare system is
absolutely
driving those healthcare costs up and up and up. Is San Diego positioned to perhaps get some of those federal funds, and where will the money come from for the project, the Alzheimer's Project, Diane?
Well, the Alzheimer's Project is looking at the Alzheimer's disease both from a cure and a care standpoint, and we've convened a roundtable of the researchers from the four institutes here. We've already met, in fact, and they're very excited about partnering with the county. And their charge is to come up with some recommendations of what they need. What can the county do to partner with them to help them to find a cure for Alzheimer's? Obviously, they need more money for research, but they need people for clinical trials. And there's legislation, too, which the board has already supported. So that's on the cure side. In the meantime, with more than 60,000 people today in San Diego County living with the disease, 80% of those people are being cared for in-home.
Why is that, Diane? Is it because the space just isn't available, or is it a cost issue? What's the reason?
It's very expensive to put someone with Alzheimer's in a facility.
Yeah.
And so most people can't afford it.
Dead.
It can be $4,000, $5,000 a month easily. So, you know, so people are taking care of their loved ones at home, and if they can afford it, they'll have someone come in, respite care, or to relieve them for a little while so they get a break.
Now, is the project also looking at getting some help for the caregivers like that, perhaps more funding for in-home care or for facilities that would be residential care facilities? And also, I wonder about treatments. We don't have cures. Is there any promise out there in terms of treatments that might slow the progression of the disease or a vaccine?
Well, from the knowledge I've gained, there is nothing out there that slows the progression of the disease. And a person can live with the disease for as much as 10 years. So it's not something that you are diagnosed with the disease, you know that you're going to die, you just don't know when, and this could go on and progress, and it's not a very good prospect both for the caregivers and for the person with the disease.
So it sounds like short term, some of the focus needs to be on helping the caregivers and just getting the appropriate care for the patient and help for the families as well.
Well, that's what the caregiver group that will come together focus on. What can we do? Again, the county being the largest public health agency to partner with caregivers and come up with some recommendations of what we need to do now and then plan for the future, because this is going to be a growing problem. It's reaching epidemic proportions. So we are doing the right thing at the right time.
Now, I'm also curious whether the project is going to look at all at the link between nutrition and dementia. For example, the Alzheimer's organization now advises that if people are obese late in life and they also have high cholesterol and high blood pressure, they are 6 times more likely to develop dementia. That sure got my attention, and I know I'm certainly changing my diet a little bit to reflect.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly seems that diet, proper nutrition, exercise, things we already know, but a lot of people are not doing. This fits in very nicely with our Live Well program, San Diego, because it's no smoking, eat right, eat the right foods, and also exercise. Just
right.
Those three things. And that could be a lot of what we tie into having a healthy brain.
there you go. So educating the public on things like that might be part of this program.
Public education, awareness is a big part of the Alzheimer's Project. It's a disease people have not wanted to talk about it. We're talking about it. We're getting the information out there, and we'll be waging a major public education campaign partnering up with the Alzheimer's Association. And so people are aware, just like they're aware of the symptoms of stroke or symptoms of heart attack. We want people to know, what are the symptoms of Alzheimer's? What are the signs of Alzheimer's? And then mainly to talk about it, educate people, raise the level of awareness. So people who have it, those that are caring for people with Alzheimer's, they know they're not alone.
Very good. Now, San Diego is, of course, one of the leading regions for biomedical research. Do you think this initiative could also bring more jobs, such as in the research laboratories, over time?
Well, I think it's possible.
Caregiver jobs, that sort of thing?
Definitely. The healthcare industry is a growing industry. And we have a growing number of people that are getting older much faster than the rest of the population.
I also understand that as part of this project, there's an aging summit coming up on June 12th right here in San Diego.
Miriam, I'd like to invite all your listeners. It's on June 12th, and it'll be 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It'll be at the Town and Country Convention Center, and it's free.
Now, the focus of this year's Aging Summit will be Alzheimer's.
There'll be breakout sessions. We'll have keynote speakers, Gail Sheehy, who is author of Passages and Passages for Caregivers. She was actually on the New York Times bestseller list, her books. And then Darlene Shiley, who's been a well-known local philanthropist and a former caregiver herself. The two of them will keynote the address, and there'll be breakout sessions. So people who want to come, they'll have an opportunity to learn about financial planning, disaster preparedness, and then our real focus is Alzheimer's and related dementias, and there'll be breakouts, researchers, and a lot of information on that.
Excellent. So opportunities to ask questions and get a lot of really helpful information out there.
Yes, and a free lunch and opportunity drawings.
Can't beat that. Thank you very much for joining us, Diane, and also, listeners, if you want more information about the conference or the Alzheimer's Project, for the conference you can visit
alsevents.org or you can call AARP registration line 877-926-8300.
Thank you.
And listeners, we understand that the reports from the CURE and the CARE groups researching this
will be coming back to the supervisors for a conference on December 2nd, so you may want to mark your calendars and follow up on that. And hopefully there's going to be some positive recommendations come out of that session.
Supervisor Jacob, I want to thank you again for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
With tinder dry conditions during the drought, Fire Chief Rick Sitta at Heartland Fire and Rescue is warning residents about the dangers of sky lanterns. These fire lanterns pose a serious threat to our county, the chief says. Sky lanterns are prohibited by several laws and codes in California. The ban followed a bulletin from the state fire marshal in 2012 warning of the fire dangers. The fire marshal issued that bulletin in direct response to an East County Magazine investigation following a complaint from one of our readers. That led to first a ban on sky lantern sales at Walmart in Lakeside, and then after we alerted Cal Fire and the San Miguel Fire Department, the state fire marshal took action. But many people don't know that sky lantern sales are illegal here, and use of the dangerous products continues. A sky lantern is a small hot air balloon made of paper with an opening at the bottom where a small fire is suspended. The heated air from the flame causes it to rise into the air and be carried off by the wind. The problem is that once released, there is no control over where the lantern lands, said Chief Sitta. It could land in trees or bushes, on hillsides and canyons, or on someone's home. Sky lanterns have grown in popularity over the years due to movies and commercials. They are often seen at weddings and vigils. Invented in China, the lanterns were first used as signals during the wars. They are now launched at festivals for good luck and to send wishes skyward. Chief Sitta is discouraging the use of sky lanterns at any time, especially during the 4th of July in the midst of fire season. The U.S. Fire Marshals Association has also adopted a resolution urging states to ban the sale and use of sky lanterns. There is a serious fire and safety hazard associated with sky lanterns. The potential to start an unintended fire on or off the property from which they are released cannot be overlooked. Sky lanterns have been the cause of commercial, residential, and wildland fires worldwide. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Trevor Hill on KNSJ.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with today's Green Scene Report. A group calling itself Forest Ethics staged a protest in San Diego this week against the 3M company during the 2014 Sustainable Brands Conference at Paradise Point Resort, where six 3M sustainability professionals were in attendance, along with 2,000 other professionals representing the world's biggest and most popular brands. Forest Ethics is urging 3M to stop the greenwashing, as they put it. According to spokesman Jim Ace, Forest Ethics contends that 3M is implicated in destroying forests and misleading consumers about its environmental record. 90% of 3M's Post-it notes contain no recycled paper, the group contends, and Scotch tape comes from trees being stripped in Canada's boreal forests, habitat for caribou. Scotch Brite sponges are also reportedly linked to deforestation. East County Magazine has asked 3M for a response, but we have not yet received one. We'd rather be out there cheering 3M on, but 3M has refused to do the right thing, said Ace. So protesters displayed 600 square feet of banners at the conference. They also launched a fishing boat just offshore at Mission Bay, where Paradise Point Resort is located. The boat displayed banners that read, 3M destroys forests, 3M kills caribou, 3M misleads consumers. In addition, Forest Ethics feisty protesters broadcast a pirate radio message all afternoon at the resort's entrance as the conference goers arrived.
Hello, and welcome to Sustainable Brands 2014. Paradise Point Island Resort is just ahead. Over the next few days, give yourself the chance to step back, take a deep breath, and think about what sustainable really means. You see, some of your peers are making false environmental claims, also known as greenwash. We thought you should be aware that 3M, famous for its Post-it notes and Scotch tape brands, is one of them. 3M talks about its commitment to sustainable forestry, but many of 3M's well-loved products contain controversially sourced fiber from forests around the world. That means 3M's procurement practices are destroying forests and harming wildlife. Destroying forests and 3M's unwillingness to act responsibly to develop a solution has put 3M's brand at risk. Don't trust 3M's greenwash, and don't trust 3M with your brand. Learn more at www.forestethics.org/3M. That's www.forestethics.org/3M.
This is Miriam Raftery with some news for sports fans here in East County. Six-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson will be returning to his hometown of El Cajon for a special tribute on Tuesday, June 17th. Weather permitting, the El Cajon City Council will hold a special celebration to recognize this hometown hero for his racing accomplishments and also his philanthropic contributions to the community. The city is encouraging everyone to attend and show support for one of the racing world's biggest stars. This special tribute to Jimmy Johnson will be held in the Centennial Plaza, located at 200 Civic Center Way in downtown El Cajon. The date again is June 17th from 11 a.m. to noon. The ceremony includes proclamations by elected officials, and Jimmy Johnson's own number 48 race car will be on display, along with collectible hero cards while supplies last. Due to his time constraints, however, he will not be signing autographs. Johnson is one of the most winning athletes in all sports, and he continues to make his hometown proud. Last year, he won his sixth NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship, adding to a NASCAR record 5 championships in a row. At just 38 years old, he's also the youngest driver ever to win 6 titles. He's won 68 titles in his lifetime. And just in the last 2 weeks, he won back-to-back races, the Autism Speaks 400 and the Coca-Cola 600. Johnson still visits San Diego each year, not only to see his family, but also to give back to the community through the Jimmy Johnson Foundation. To date, His foundation has given over $6.5 million to local schools here in El Cajon and across the nation, making Jimmy Johnson a true hometown hero in every sense of the word.
This is Devon Marshall with a sports update. Some athletes from San Diego State are progressing in life outside of school, in sports such as soccer, pole vault, and baseball, with each sport having a talented athlete heading to the big leagues. Former SDSU soccer standout Steven Betashour has been selected to play in the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil on the Iranian team's 23-man roster. He was a four-year starter at SDSU before being drafted by the San Jose Earthquakes and made the Major League Soccer All-Star team in 2012. He's currently a defender for the Vancouver Whitecaps for the MLS. Steven is also the fifth former Aztec to make a World Cup and the first since 1998. On a professional level, he has 18 assists since 2011, which is more than any other MLS defender. A career high was the 7 assists he made in 2011 alone, which is the most in a single season by an MLS out-and-out defender since 2006. It's obvious he has a leg up on the competition. As for Kristen Brown, who's still an SDSU student, she has advanced to the NCAA championships in a pole vault to place 18 in SDSU track and field team. Brown was one of the only four athletes to not miss an attempt. She qualified for the finals by posting a mark of 13 feet 7 inches. She never missed a height, clearing 13 feet 3 inches, 12 feet 9 inches, and 12 feet 3 inches en route to securing one of the 12 spots. The best part of the day was watching Kristen Brown qualify for the finals. After getting rained out last year, it was great to see her make it to the NCAA championships this year, said head coach Sheila Burrell. She's clearly rising above the rest. And lastly, SDSU's right-hand baseball pitcher Michael Cedaroth has been named a first-time Louisville Slugger All-American. He's become the 13th Aztec in history of the program to receive All-American honors and the fifth to be selected to a first-team squad. He served as the Aztec's closer as a junior this year after performing in a starting role his first 2 years at SDSU. He has a record of 6-1 with an earned run average of just 1.89 along with his 20 saves. That save total equals the SDSU record set by Addison Reed, currently the closer for the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2009. Michael is also a semifinalist for the Dick Houser Trophy presented to the top player in the collegiate baseball, and he is on the watch list for the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association Stopper of the Year Award. He is certainly the right-hand man for the job.
On Friday, June 6th, San Diego Congresswoman Susan Davis joined a bipartisan delegation which accompanied President Barack Obama and French President François Hollande in honoring those who fell during the D-Day landings at Normandy on the 70th anniversary of this historic event. Davis has deep personal ties with the D-Day landing, which include her senior role on the House Armed Services Committee and her father who served during World War II. I take personal pride and feel a lot of emotion for the fact that my dad was a medic in Europe during the war, and saw a lot in that theater, she commented. Davis and the rest of the delegation attended memorial ceremonies across all five of the beaches involved in the D-Day landing, including a trip to the Normandy American Cemetery to honor the over 93,000 Americans buried in Normandy who died fighting for their country. On Friday afternoon on Sword Beach, one of the five beaches involved in the D-Day landing, an international ceremony took place which included President Obama and heads of state from each of the Allied countries. President Hollande also spoke at the gathering. 81 American World War II veterans attended the ceremony this Friday, including five from the San Diego area. Susan Davis took the opportunity to honor these men and also those who lost their lives in the landing. Some of the men who stormed the beach 70 years ago were from San Diego, she said. So my ability to represent San Diego in honor of those who died, as well as those still with us today, makes this trip especially meaningful. Having watched recently released footage of the Normandy invasion, I am reminded of the acts of courage, planning, coordination, engineering feats, and a commitment to stopping the spread of tyranny. This is Trevor Hill with East County Magazine on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. If you have ideas, problems, or concerns to share regarding San Diego County's government, the chair of the Board of Supervisors, Diane Jacob, wants to hear from you. The supervisor hosts a series of coffee with her constituents around the county throughout the year. The next one is coming up in Lakeside on Thursday, June 26th. It will be held from 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning at Willowbrook Golf Course Events Room. That's located at 11905 Riverside Drive in Lakeside. You are invited to bring your friends, family, and neighbors along if you choose.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. East County is buzzing this weekend with an air show at Gillespie Field, an ethnic fair to celebrate diversity, an historical day in Alpine, music events, a farm tour, and more. Plus, our preview at the end of the program has some exciting upcoming events, all happening right here in East County. World War II aircraft, paratroopers, mock aerial dogfights, along with performance flying demonstrations, an airplane racing jet car, and fireworks. All of this is part of this weekend's Air Show San Diego at Gillespie Field in El Cajon, taking place both Saturday and Sunday, June 7th and 8th. The air show, formerly known as Wings Over Gillespie, has been put on annually at the county airport for nearly two decades by Air Group One, the San Diego chapter of the Commemorative Air Force. This year's air show honors the 70th anniversary of D-Day, the 1945 Allied invasion at Normandy in France that freed Europe and helped end World War II. The air show will feature more than 60 rare aircraft, from a Douglas C-53 D-Day doll that actually dropped paratroopers on Normandy at D-Day, to Lady Alice, a World War II-era P-51 Mustang, a Curtiss P-47 Thunderbolt, War Dog, the North American T-6 NSJ Texan, flown by perennial air show favorite and aerobatic pilot John Culver. This year, Culver and War Dog will race against the Smoke and Thunder jet car, a 10,000-horsepower automobile powered by a jet airplane turbine that can speed from 0 to 400 miles per hour in 9 seconds at 1:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. There will also be live music, a 1940s dance contest on Saturday, a female pilot parade, the Red Eagles Formation Flying Team, food and beverages, a free kids zone, educational displays, and a beer garden. Gates will be open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days. Saturday's attractions will run through 7 p.m. Parking is free, and discounted tickets can be purchased through the Air Group One website. On Saturday, June 7th, the San Diego Farm Bureau hosts its annual farm tour. This is an exclusive look at the side of San Diego County few people get to see. Guided walking tours led by the farmers themselves will take you through their unique farming operations and showcase a variety of the region's agricultural specialties. Demonstrations, samples, and other fun for all ages is included. The tour runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at one of three locations, Ramona, Escondido, or Oceanside could be your choices. Here in East County, the Ramona Tour features a free-range and pastured egg ranch, a working vineyard and winery, an international succulent and cactus-growing operation, and two fruit and veggie farms. For more information, tickets, and reservations, visit www.sdfarmbureau.org. The Nile Sisters Development Initiative invites the public to celebrate diverse cultures in the City Heights community on Saturday, June 7th, to commemorate World Refugee Month. The event features a variety of ethnic foods, dancing, spoken word, a DJ, raffles, entertainment for children, and more. Festivities take place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Colina del Sol Recreation Center in City Heights. The Santa Isabel Preserves is featuring a hike called Hike All the Way Across, which is a staff-led adventure through the back trails of the preserves, which range from Julian to Santa Isabel. Along the way, hikers can enjoy discussions about its history, the plants and wildlife of the preserves, and experience places that guests don't normally get to see. The hike is approximately 8 miles in length, with an elevation gain and loss of 1,500 feet. Hikers meet at the Highway 79 East Staging Area Gate. The Alpine Historical Society is sponsoring Alpine History Day on June 7th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The benefit event features a comedic Western skit, a buggy restoration in progress, two pioneer houses open for touring, live music, antique vehicles, food, and ice cream. The event takes place at 2116 Tavern Road in Alpine. This week's Friday night dinner and a concert in El Cajon is featuring bluegrass music on June 6th with the group Next Generation. Music and dancing takes place at the Prescott Promenade every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. through September 26th. The only two exceptions are June 13th and July 4th, when concerts will be held on Thursday, June 12th and July 3rd, in conjunction with the Farmers Market. Guests can arrive early to dine at one of the many restaurants downtown or bring their own picnic and lawn chairs. A live local music concert by Levi Dean will be performed on Friday, June 6th at 7 p.m. at Kaffeemeister in Santee. With rich vocals, introspective writing, and accomplished musicianship, Levi Dean creates a progressive style that draws heavily on folk, roots, and bluegrass to make a distinct sound, rooted in tradition yet contemporary. The Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation 2014 Concert Series features the San Diego Native American Flute Circle this Sunday, June 8th at 3 p.m. in the amphitheater at the Visitor Center. Guests can also view the art exhibit by the Colored Pencil Society of America San Diego chapter at the gallery inside the Visitor Center, as well as all of their permanent exhibits. Nadine Risha will be performing at Vision Center for Spiritual Living on June 7th at 7 p.m. on Mission Gorge Road. Nadine's unique melodic voice could be called hypnotic. Her musical numbers include uplifting contemporary pop and ancient world-inspired spiritual chant. Now here is our preview of events and activities for the next couple of weeks in East County. Early next week on Tuesday, June 10th, the San Diego Bluegrass Society invites bluegrass music lovers to Fuddruckers at Grossmont Center for this free monthly event in the back room. El Cajon's America on Main Street will be held on Saturday, June 14th in downtown El Cajon from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The event is a family-friendly community festival that celebrates the American spirit through appreciation and respect for the many diverse ethnic and historical groups in the community. Highlights include two stages with live entertainment, American and ethnic food booths, a Ferris wheel, rides, arts, crafts, display booths, a petting zoo, rock wall, Fiesta de Football, street soccer event, and more. This patriotic event is planned to coincide with the nationally recognized Flag Day. Additionally, there will be a special red, white, and blue area saluting our military. The location is East Main Street and Rhea Avenue, between Magnolia and Claydale Avenues. James Hubbell's annual Father's Day open house includes the grand opening of the new Ilan Lael Foundation building, the first brand new building on Hubbell Hill in 10 years. Iconic San Diego artist, global humanitarian, and cultural leader James Hubbell once again invites the public to tour his family's magical and historically designated compound in Julian for the annual Father's Day open house on Sunday, June 15th. The El Cajon City Council is recognizing El Cajon Crest native Jimmy Johnson, NASCAR champion, for his racing accomplishments and philanthropic contributions to the community on Tuesday, June 17th, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Centennial Plaza. We will have more information for you before the event. Outdoor movies at Santee Lakes will begin on June 27th this year. The Movies by the Lake series includes games and activities for children before the movie and, of course, picnicking with lots of grass, picnic tables, and a playground nearby. A snack bar is available. That's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found in our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and a community enhancement grant from San Diego County. See you around, East County.
Who's cooking up the hottest chili in town? You can find out and cast your vote at the 4th Annual Firehouse Cook-Off, where the Alpine, Saquon, and Viejas firefighting teams are going to be vying to see who can win the Chili Cook-Off Challenge. This year, it's a chicken-themed cook-off, and it's going to be held at the Alpine Library on Thursday, June 26th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Come meet your local firefighters, taste their cooking, and cast your vote for which department has the best culinary skills. The Alpine Library is located at 2130 Arnold Way in Alpine. For more information, you can visit sdcl.org. That's the San Diego County Library, sdcl.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Santee Lakes is celebrating 50 years of marriages with a wedding vow renewal ceremony on Sunday, June 8th, from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. People who have been married in the park in the past are invited to come back and take part in the renewal ceremony at the Lake One Gazebo, where a photographer will take a complimentary photo for these happy couples. Refreshments will also be provided as the blissful brides and grooms renew their vows at Santee Lakes, a 191-acre park with seven lakes, as well as camping, fishing, boating, and now, floating cabins. Yes, that's right. You can even honeymoon all over again along the shores of Santee Lakes. For more information, call 619-258-4759. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Did you know that light-emitting diode or LED bulbs use so much less electricity and last so much longer that the cost savings over a traditional incandescent bulb is about $540 over the lifespan of the bulb? That's because LEDs use far less electricity and because they last up to 5 times longer than the compact fluorescent bulbs due to their lack of a filament which can burn out quickly. On June 6th in El Cajon and July 7th in Chula Vista, a community tailgate will be hosted at SDG&E branch offices, where they will be providing information on programs, services, and solutions to your energy needs. Their partners, TechniArt, will be on hand offering LED light bulbs for a minimal price. The tailgate will last from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. SDG&E welcomes everyone to stop by to learn more about how to save energy and to get some light bulbs that will save them money in the future. This is Trevor Hill with East County Magazine on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
As the weather heats up, it's important to stay hydrated. Experts advise drinking at least 8 glasses of water a day, and if you're hitting the hiking trail, it's critical to carry plenty of water. But did you know that certain foods will also help you maintain hydration? You don't have to drink all that water, you can eat some of it too. Ivanhoe Newswire reports. Take cucumbers for instance. A cucumber is nearly 97% water, the highest water content of any solid food. Slice it up in salads or put it in soups and sandwiches, or tuck a cucumber in your backpack on your next hike. Celery is also another good option. It not only hydrates, it also neutralizes stomach acid, relieving heartburn. Its water content is over 95%. Try putting radishes in your summer coleslaw and salads. They're also more than 95% water and provide a burst of spicy sweet flavor. Tomatoes contain over 94% water. Smaller varieties such as sweet cherry or grape tomatoes can be skewered on a toothpick with basil leaves and chunks of mozzarella for a quick appetizer. Watermelon and cauliflower are also good for hydration. Made up of close to 92% water, they also help fight cancer, studies have shown. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jaden Jimenez.
June is International World Refugee Month, and throughout the San Diego County, there are several events taking place in honor of all the refugees that have traveled from around the globe to the San Diego County. Worldwide, more than 15 million people have been forced to flee their homes because of war or victimization. The 1951 Refugee Convention officially designated the status of refugee to those families and individuals who have fear for their lives and are unable to return home for reasons of race, religion, nationality, social group, or political opinion. San Diego has recently become one of the most popular relocating homes for many refugees from East Africa, parts of Asia, and the Middle East. One organization that's hosting an event is Nile Sisters. Nile Sisters Development Initiative is a nonprofit organization that invites the public to honor the diverse cultures in the City Heights community on Saturday, June 7th to celebrate International Refugee Month. The event will take place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Colina del Sol Recreation Center, 3319 Orange Avenue in City Heights. Festivities will feature ethnic food, dancing, spoken word, a DJ, and much more. The Now Sisters of Initiative mission is to educate, support, and offer training to refugee and immigrant women and their families to help them overcome barriers to social and economic self-reliance. Nile Sisters has served over thousands of refugees and immigrants. This past year alone, they served over 1,700 refugees. San Diego Refugee Forum is another event being thrown to honor Refugee Day. They invite you to join their 13th annual World Refugee Celebration that focuses on one refugee group in particular, the Alliance for African Assistance. This event will be held at the La Jolla Presbyterian Church on June 20th from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. The event will have live entertainment, featured speakers, gourmet breakfast, a silent auction, along with refugee success stories and a volunteer and community awards ceremony. You'll be able to meet refugees and hear about the exciting work of the Alliance for African Assistance. The proceeds will support the Alliance for African Assistance Child Scholarship Fund to educate Uganda's most vulnerable children. Stand with the communities from which many refugees originate by helping us raise $5,000 to give children hope through education. The last event will be held at Balboa Parks, International Cottages, and Hall of Nations. The event is on June 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. They encourage you to meet your neighbors and celebrate San Diego as the refugee resettlement capital of the world. Join cultural performances and panel discussions. You'll be able to purchase food, textiles, and crafts from local refugee business owners. The consequences of all war and conflict can be measured by the personal struggle of refugees as they seek a new community, a new home. Refugees from all around the world who are forging new lives of hope. For more information on these events, visit the Refugee Voices section at eastcountymagazine.org. This is Stevon Marshall with East County Magazine, KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Tattoos have become so common, many people think getting one is completely safe. And in most cases, it is. However, two San Diegans recently discovered that there can be some health risks. After getting tattoos, both were diagnosed with infections caused by a family of bacteria called Nontuberculous Mycobacterium, or NTM. Both tattoo recipients required medical care. NTM infections have been recently recognized as a health concern linked to getting a tattoo. Clusters of cases have been reported in other parts of the country, but these are the first cases detected in San Diego. People should be aware of the potential for these types of infections before getting a tattoo, said Wilma Wooten, a medical doctor, Master of Population Health, and County Public Health Officer. NTM infections can cause itchy red bumps that can progress to abscesses, starting anywhere from days to weeks after getting a tattoo. The infections do not improve with treatment for common skin infections and may require use of multiple antibiotics for up to 6 months. Permanent scarring can also occur even after treatment. NTM has been found in contaminated tattoo ink and in water used to dilute the ink to create gray areas of the tattoo. Contamination can also happen when the needle is rinsed between colors. Infection can occur because the area being inked creates an open surface on the skin through which bacteria or other disease-causing organisms can easily enter the body. The County Department of Environmental Health, or DEH, and the County Health and Human Services Agency are working together with state and federal health officials to investigate the causes of the recent infections in San Diego. Both the state of California and the county of San Diego have regulations governing tattoo and body piercing shops to ensure safe practices are in place to help prevent infection. However, consumers should be aware of the potential health risks and what to look for in a tattoo artist and shop. When getting a tattoo, you should make sure the artist is registered and the shop has a permit from DEH. Ask the artist any questions you have about hygiene and the tattooing process. The artist should willingly and comfortably answer them for you. Request inks and colors that are specifically made for tattooing, not for other purposes. Ask if the tattoo artist uses sterile water for diluting inks and rinsing needles. This is not required by state regulations, but is a DEH guideline to help prevent infection. Be aware of signs of an infection after getting a tattoo. They include redness, heat, swelling, or pus on or around the tattoo. If you develop signs of an infection, seek medical care immediately and report the infection to the tattoo artist. Additionally, report a tattoo-related infection or problem to the DEH Epidemiology Liaison at 858-505-6814. This is Trevor Hill with East County Magazine, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
On Saturday, June 7th, the San Diego Farm Bureau hosts its annual farm tour. This is an exclusive look at a side of San Diego County few people get to see. So if you're ever hankered to experience country life down on the farm, here's your chance. Guided walking tours led by the farmers themselves will take you through their unique farming operations and showcase a variety of the region's agricultural specialties. Demonstrations, samples, and other fun for all ages are also included. The tour runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can choose from farms on one of three locations, Ramona, Escondido, or Oceanside. Here in East County, the Ramona tour features a free-range and pastured egg ranch, a working vineyard and winery, and international succulent and cactus growing operation, and two fruit and veggie farms. For more information, tickets, and reservations, visit www.sdfarmbureau.org.
Programs to house homeless and near-homeless veterans will be getting more funding after the passage of Proposition 41. The Veterans Housing and Homeless Prevention Bond Act of 2014 allows the state to sell $600 million in new general obligation bonds to fund affordable multifamily housing for homeless and low-income veterans. Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins says this is a big win for homeless vets and their families.
This is really about providing affordable housing and housing for veterans who have earned it. And in particular, what's so important about this ballot measure focuses exclusively on veterans.
The measure is the first veteran-related bond act that directs money to homeless and low-income veterans. Most of the previous ballot measures have focused on programs to help veterans buy houses. Speaker Atkins says too many soldiers are coming home with no place to live or the services to help them transition to the next phase of their lives.
These individuals, these veterans, have served our country. We cannot allow veterans to be homeless. It's personal. It's a victory. I'm thrilled. I thank the voters for doing the right thing.
Proposition 41 easily won in Tuesday's primary election with a margin of 65% to 35%. California has the most homeless veterans in the nation, with 15,000 at last count. Los Angeles County is home to nearly half. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
The Sheriff's Department, San Diego Regional Fugitive Task Force, and Crime Stoppers are asking the public to be on the lookout for Daniel Juarez Martinez. He is wanted for attacking his wife and setting fire to their home in Bonita in February. He also goes by the name Daniel Catafarias and Daniel Juarez. He has tattoos, including three black circles on his right arm and the letters DD on his upper body. Martinez is also known to dress as a woman. It is believed that he escaped to Mexico after the crime, but now there is a strong likelihood he is back in San Diego County. He has ties in the South Bay area, as well as in the Glendale area of Los Angeles. Martinez was last seen driving a 2010 Toyota Camry with California license plate 6KHS540. If you see Martinez, do not approach him. He is considered armed and dangerous. Anyone with information on Martinez's whereabouts is urged to call Crime Stoppers Anonymous tip line at 888-580-8477. You could be eligible for up to a $1,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest of the suspect. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.